you heard from Sunday. We have some really powerful things coming this weekend, this Sunday. The word is intensifying even the more. And it is just, I mean, when I tell you, there's such an outpour that God is giving us in this rhema, this particular rhema. And remember, everything we're dealing with right now is how peace is manifested, how the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus, his life is manifested in us. Everything we're learning is really summing up the highest dimension of peace. And as we're forsaking all, you better believe you're going to touch the full shalom, the shalom and the shalva of God. You're going to touch the perfect irene of God, the perfect peace. And you better believe it. You're coming into it, because as we are being released from what holds us in carnality, as we're being released from it, the fullness of the kingdom of God is opening up unto us. Amen. We won't be a people that go back to glory and say, why weren't we healed? Why weren't we blessed? Mm-hmm. What happened? Why did it take coming home to be delivered? We're not going to have those questions. We're a people that's going to go from glory to glory.
Amen.
And that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. And it does cost something. The call is to forsake all. That's what the subject is. That's what we're dealing with. I'm just going to open up. If you could scroll up for me, Elder Allison, please. I want to go to a part of the message, and then I'll open up the Q&A from there. If there are any questions, if not, you can give comments or whatever concerning it. I'd like to go up a little bit more, Elder Allison, to Jesus, our example here. Here we go. Looking. All right. Let's get to that scripture. A little bit too much there. Come back.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Here we go. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. It says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. All right. I'm going to stop right there, and I want to start and make a comment and give you a hot off the press rhema that God gave me today. It says, looking unto Jesus. The word look means to turn the eyes away from other things. That's what looking means. Turn your eyes away from other things and fix them on something. All right. So when you were talking about looking unto Jesus, it's really talking about sanctification in itself, or separation. All right. When we're just looking, if we're truly going to look unto Jesus as an example, and Jesus being our example, then in just looking at him, if you're really going to look at him, the author and the finisher of our faith, if you're going to look at him, to look at him is going to cause a separation in your life.
Amen.
If you're going to use Jesus as a mock example, then you looking, I'm telling you now, it's going to separate you from everything else that's of this world.
Amen.
If he is your example, and that's something I think the church has lost. I really believe that. I really believe the church has lost looking unto Jesus. I don't think we look unto him and we don't follow the example like we did maybe when we first got saved. But looking unto Jesus means that we're going to turn our eyes away from something else and fix them on him. The word looking means separation. It means departing. It means fleeing. And that means of origin. Look at that. Fleeing from what? The origin place that you were once connected to and why you were connected to. And we know what the origin place is. The origin place is when heaven split. And I mean, when Lucifer fell, it was because of him trying to utilize the substance that God had given him. That's the origin. That's the original place of how all this craziness has taken place. So when you look unto Jesus, you're going to end up turning from your origin place. That's what that scripture is really saying.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So here's what the Lord, here's what I was in my studies today, right? And as I was in my studies this morning, I saw something really powerful. It just came to me, and it was so powerful. All right, we're talking about looking unto Jesus, and the subject is forsaking all. All right, I heard this word rise up in my spirit. I heard the Lord say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." All right, so we see God sowing substance there. Jesus was the substance of all of heaven. Mm-hmm. Jesus is and was the substance of the Father. All of the wealth of the Father, the prosperity of the Father was in Jesus. If Jesus fails, the Father fizzles away from existence, because that's how much substance was in Jesus. But God loved the world so much that he gave that. And then I realized something else struck me. Jesus made this statement. He said, listen here. He said, no man is taking my life, but I'm laying it down. So Jesus is saying he's giving himself. Was it God that gave him, or was it Jesus? And watch this. If we're looking unto Jesus, this is where our mindset has to come. Hear me now. God gave his son, and it was the plan of the Father. Jesus was so connected to the Father that when he gave himself, he said, no man's taken my life, but I lay it down. So he's saying, I'm sowing it. What am I saying? Jesus had the perfect mind of the Father when it came to time to sowing substance. The Father's mind was to sow the Son. The Son had the mind of the Father to sow himself. That's how substance giving works. It is the Father's in the first place. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. So when we're looking, if we're looking unto Jesus as an example, Jesus had the perfect mind of the Father to sow himself for the good of all mankind. The Father's, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus tapped into that mindset is what I'm saying.
Amen.
When we give, we have to have the mind of the Father. Because remember, the earth is his in the fullness thereof. Anything you're giving is already his. Only thing you are is getting his mind about what you're to be giving.
Amen. Amen.
That's perfect sowing. It is the mind of God that we give a tenth and worship with the tenth. It is the mind of our God that we worship with the first fruit. And then it becomes the mind. It is the mind of our God that the lump is also holy. So as you're giving, it blew me away. And I come to realize that if I'm going to be like Jesus concerning this, I'm just merely giving what already belongs to God.
Amen.
In tithe, first fruit, and substance giving. It's already his.
Yes, it is.
So if I'm going to look unto Jesus and pattern his example, he just did what the Father was already saying he was going to do.
Yes.
And he sowed himself. He said, no man's taking my life. I'm laying it down. I'm laying it down. And so that's how the mindset of Jesus works when it comes to giving. It's the mind of the Father It's the mind of the Father. So every time we're hearing about triune giving, we're getting the mind of the Father. And the benefit of doing it is us being disconnected from every evil work and being totally exposed and totally in position to receive the fullness of the kingdom of God in and on our lives. So the word, if we're going to look unto Jesus, you got to expect the separation and you got to expect the download of the Father's mind. And that's how perfect triune giving is done.
Bless God.
I have his mind when I worship with my tenth. And I have his mind when I honor him with my first fruit. I have his mind when he tells me whatever he wants me to give from the lump, from what's left over. I have his mind. And just like Jesus, he had his mind and he was able to do and endure the cross because it was the mind of the Father.
Bless God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you scroll up just a little bit for me, Elder Allison, real fast? This is how we're forsaking all. This is how we're actually forsaking all. My goodness, scroll up just a little bit more for me. Jesus. Now, we did this breakdown last night. This is our cross to bear. Bearing our cross, this is the breakdown. The cross breakdown is one who is exposed to total self-denial, which is equivalent to the exposure of death. Mm-hmm. By having a steadfast mind that doesn't waver, ultimately becoming thoroughly balanced in kingdom and has truly escaped to safety. That's what it means, and that's what happens when you bear your cross. You expose yourself unto death,
Amen.
The death of yourself. The best way to dying of yourself is not you fasting 40 days and 40 nights. I'm trying to tell you, if you want to be disconnected from carnality, hit it at the root.
Yes.
The root. What is the root? Apostle, what is that? Well, what do you mean? The love of money is the root. It is the origin of all evil. If you really want to disconnect, get the mind of God as pertaining to money. He said this, and this is scary. No man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. The word master means controller. If you're controlled by money, if money is controlling, if money is controlling you, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. I was in fellowship today for a while with Elder Allison, and this came to me. I said, it's funny. We're supposed to possess money, but how money has become the master that possesses us.
It's so true.
The quickest way to bear your cross is to really, really walk in a place of obedience with God when it comes to worshiping him in that triune manner. And that's how God is teaching us right now how we will successfully be able to forsake all. All right.
Amen.
I open up there for any questions or any comments or anything that might be on your heart concerning this. Anything. I open it up right there for anyone. And there are no stupid questions. There are no stupid comments. So I open it up to you guys from there. Any comments? Maybe not a question, but maybe a comment. Something that you might be hearing to add into this and to join into this.
Apostle, what I'm seeing is what the triune giving is is causing is a, I'm thinking of that scripture that talks about a threefold cord that's not quickly broken. It's a stronger, there's been a connection. As you said, even earlier, he started off with us giving two offerings, and we went that way for a long time. And him adding to us the giving of substance, knowing that it all belongs to him. I'm seeing the strength of that umbilical cord.
Amen.
Becoming even stronger.
Amen.
Than it ever was before. It just is, as it's, the scripture says, not quickly broken. It's not easily to do any damage there, because the tie has will become so strong, or has become so strong.
It really has, Elder. It really has become extremely strong. And when we start to break down the three, in particular, the tithe, the first fruit, and the substance giving, when you start to see the power behind all three, you're going to see that umbilical cord that becomes, it's like we get detached from being fed in a carnal sense with the world, and we're attached to Christ.
Yes.
That's where our sustenance is coming from.
Amen.
Elder Allison had something really powerful. If you don't mind, I would love for you, if you could share it, Elder, about what happened to you with just dealing with one bill that you had, if you don't mind. That'd be a perfect time if you don't mind sharing that.
Yeah, just no problem. We're supposed to be open book, so if it'll help somebody else, of course. But this happened this morning, and we all know that the word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And ever since we've been in triune giving and learning of substance, and I've been operating and just having an open ear to hear when to honor with my substance. And this morning I had looked at my account and I saw the amount that I had. And I'll just share, it doesn't matter. It was about $298. And there's a bill that I have to pay. So I was like, okay, I'll pay $200 towards that bill and I'll have $98 left over. And it hit me so hard, because as I'm seeing, and I say seeing, because we're supposed to be looking unto Jesus, but as I was seeing the $98, that was the problem. I was seeing the $98. Hence, I had a tie to that money, because I'm now seeing that amount as my source. I'm seeing it as my safety. I'm seeing it as my provider. And to me, it puts a limit on what God can do, because I wasn't looking at him, but I'm looking at that particular amount that I had left.
Come on now.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
And so I'm seeing that. So I'm like, I'm still connected here. But because I'm seeing it, the axe is at that root.
That's right.
Amen, God.
Brought it to my acknowledgement. And so it's like, now it's like, no, that's not what I have left.
So good. That's so, so good.
But see, that's been our problem, because we see what we have.
Yes.
We've been so tied to money as being our provider. Yes. And it's like, no, our tithe unto God, that's God with man.
Amen.
That's why he's trying to bring us to where we're not connected to this money.
Yes.
But we're connected to God. He is our provider. He is
Come
our everything.
Come on.
And that's why this that every time I'm giving my first fruit and my tithe, I'm saying I'm like the axe is at the root. I'm like,
Yes,
yes,
yes, yes, yes.
keep it at this root. I don't want to be connected. I don't want to be tied. I don't want to have any connection to money.
That
That's
is
good.
that is such that to me is so powerful.
Yes, amen.
For you to have that experience
Amen.
like that, that is so strong. Because how many times I know that I could say the same that I've done
Yep, me too.
something so similar, you know, and then I reduce, Elder Donna, I reduce down the fact that I am partaker. I'm joint heir here with Christ.
Yes, it's true. That's
I'm
true.
joint heir with him. And then we limit
Yes.
We limit the covenant, man. He told us last night. He said to us, and the scripture was, be not afraid, only believe.
Yes.
Only. That means you have a single eye. I don't see anything else but God as my source.
Yes.
Only believe. That goes with our healing. That goes with prosperity. That goes with everything. And it stinks, man. It really stinks that we've been so conditioned over time.
Yes.
To think just like that. Well, if I
so
do this,
true.
I have this left over
Yes.
to do that. No, no, that's not the case.
Yes.
I'll
Yes.
do this full throttle, and then
Yes.
God is
Yes.
left over as my
Yes.
source.
Yes. God.
Yeah.
If the bill is $298, just pay the bill. You're not broke. You still got God.
Yes.
But it's that mindset.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's that mindset.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love that. I really appreciate
oh,
that
hallelujah,
greatly.
Jesus.
And God wants that. That's what that's why the axe is laid at the root.
Yes.
Man, please,
yes.
man, listen
Yes.
here. Jesus was smooth with it. Smooth with it, knowing that the earth was his. He was smooth with it.
Oh, yeah.
He said, okay. He said, all right, yeah, they're calling us out for temple tax. They're calling us out. Yep. He said, Peter, what do you think? Does the son of the owner of the temple, does he have to pay taxes? Would he have to pay tax with the son? Peter said, no, of course not. Jesus said, nevertheless, Peter, the first fish that you catch, open his mouth, take out a piece of money, and go pay our taxes so we don't offend these people. Smooth with it.
Oh, God. Oh,
just
Jesus.
smooth. I mean, he knew where it was. See, he
hallelujah.
knew. Come on, man. Come on. I love that story for a fish to have the temple tax in their mouth, for not just for Jesus, but for Peter and Jesus.
Yes.
Just so smooth. He wasn't worried about this or
He
that.
wasn't.
Man, he was smooth. He said, look at the lilies of the field here. Look at how beautiful they are. He said, I tell you, Solomon in all of his glory was never arrayed like this. He never had this glory on him. All the money he had, Jesus was proving a point. The glory that my Father has with something that's right around you. We look at lilies. We would never compare lilies to the glory of Solomon, because we look at money as being glory. The beauty behind the lilies.
Oh, true. Oh, my gosh. It's true.
Was beyond whatever Solomon was arrayed with. But because we're so conditioned that money, jewels, diamonds, gold, that's glory. No, 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 no. Jesus is like, man, that's so passe what Solomon had. That's nothing. Smooth with it. That's where he wants to bring us to, into
yes,
a mindset, to really unveiling the true riches, to seeing the true riches. What greater miracle is there than someone that receives salvation? What greater miracle is when someone comes up off the bed of affliction? God wants to rip us apart, I mean, totally separate us from what we think are riches. and bring us into the realm of the anointing to where true riches are.
Yes, sir.
130 yards.
Come on now. Come on. That to me just amazes me.
Yes, God.
Any comments? Any questions? Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
I wanted to add something there, Apostle.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, it's just like what we were sharing last night with Jen. The inheritance of God is greater than the inheritance of putting your money into a stock market and getting a great return. The inheritance of getting God, this is what you're talking about, is what Jesus understood the entire time he was on this earth. He never stopped looking at his Father, never.
Never.
And because he could see his Father plainly,
looking.
He knew, looking,
that's
he
it.
knew what he was going to get was great. What his the inheritance or the I don't want to say the substance of his Father, but it was his everything that his Father had, everything that his Father is, everything that his Father would do. Jesus, he was willing to lay down his life because he saw you read it, I think, on Sunday's message, for the joy that was set before him.
Yes.
Endured the cross and despised the it mattered not. And so I was, as you all were talking, I was thinking about Ezekiel 28 when you read that. I think it was either last week or the week before. And it was because of the beauty of Lucifer and his brightness. I shared this with Mom a little bit ago, how we have to be careful what we watch even on television. Like if you get into the Soul Train Awards or you're getting into certain things where you're watching how these people are under the, if you will, the influence of Mammon, for sure, and certainly Mystery Babylon, the great mother of all harlots, who pours out her fornications upon the people of the earth, because what you're actually seeing is the very replica of who they're looking at. They're constantly looking at Satan. They're looking at his splendor. This is what he saw himself in his brightness, and he thought so much of himself in the gold and the emeralds and all that he possessed, that when he was praised, he would turn around and make this, as Apostle beautifully has taught us, this would become what we would look at. What he actually does is make you see what you don't have and want it.
It's the truth now.
Yes, it is.
It's the truth. Evangelist, yes. As you're talking, if I could just add this to what you're saying,
yes,
I keep hearing this word, the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I'm really starting to realize what the sorrow is. I truly believe that as God endows us with wealth, the sorrow part that will not come to us is the vanity.
Yes.
It's the vanity that comes with it.
Oh.
I truly believe that as we're being baptized in this ring, that as we're being baptized and looking now unto Jesus, looking for authentic wealth, true riches, by the time God does endow us with earthly wealth, I'm telling you, the sorrow that will not come. There will be no vanity added.
Amen. Amen.
I truly believe that because that always ends up. Vanity always ends up in a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It always ends up in a mess.
Yes.
It is what Lucifer used. I keep saying this, and I'm giving dude props because he was brilliant. He took what disconnected him and used it as a weapon to keep us disconnected.
Yes.
He was brilliant with that.
And that's his plan to keep us looking at
yes, sir.
That,
yes, sir.
To keep us looking at what, we, and the thing is, the moment, you also read this scripture, I think it was, again, it was either last week or the week before, he who loses his life will find it. What we end up finding is life himself, the way life was intended to be, the yes, very Zoe person of Zoe himself. When we let go of substance and we honor God and listen, for me, the way that I look at this, it brings joy to my heart to know what I'm about to receive is
you said
I'm
that
about
right.
to receive God. I'm about to yes. experience the principle. Amen. A promise is coming by the one who spoke the promise, which is I will not have to add anything to myself. It's going to be added by the one who
Hallelujah.
Made the promise. Yes.
Hallelujah.
To come by the hand of Almighty God. That's why we're told to come unto him when we're laboring and are heavy laden, and we find the rest
come
in Jesus.
Amen.
When we loose our substance, when we let go of our lives.
Amen.
I mean, this is one of the most powerful messages on giving I've ever heard in my life.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Lord God.
Praise God. I tell you,
The gain is much greater.
So yes. Powerful.
It's much greater.
Yes. And that's so what powerful. I'm seeing. We are gaining. The yes. reason I see that we will not, there'll be no vanity because we'll understand that the true riches is Christ.
That's
we'll
right.
We'll understand that all this other, all yeah. money, property, houses, land is all temporary. He is forever lasting.
Amen.
He is forever.
Amen.
And when we gain Christ and let it all go, that's why you can see why Paul would call it all dung.
That's what he called it.
Because it's temporary. It doesn't last.
It doesn't last. And actually, Elder Donna, it actually, what I look at, it's temporary, but in truth, if we have both, right, it won't be able to hold a candle to
That's
the anointing.
Right. To the anointing, exactly.
Even while it's temporal, in its
yes.
temporal state,
yes.
it won't compare.
It will not compare. It will not compare. Because we'll understand the true riches that we have.
That's it. That's it.
That goes into what you had prayed, Apostle. You said, I want to be, when you talked about Jesus, when he did not even give thought to his wealth, where it was all about what his inheritance with the Father, what he had with the Father, that was greater gain. You said in one of your messages that Lord, that's what I want.
That's
want
right.
to have where I have both, but it doesn't, the money, I don't even recognize that I have it.
Yeah. It doesn't, yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Yes.
That's it. And not being a spoiled rich kid, not being a bad steward, not like that. I'm talking about to where every money is just a means. And I don't even like saying that because it's been so washed in the gospel and in the body. But money is just it becomes a means to getting the glory somewhere. That's all. Money is just a tool to get the glory, to get the true riches out there. It's really got money will become like for when you are walking in the true riches of Christ, money will be like a shoebox that held your shoes on the way home. It's discarded. You don't need it anymore. It got to where it was going. It'll be something that has no value to us walking in the glory.
But Apostle, here's what's powerful, because when you're telling us to look unto Jesus, right, and we're seeing how Jesus handled it, how he handled himself as an offering, that means there was an intended purpose.
You said
there was an intention that God had made him a body. He said in Hebrews, he said, thou hast prepared me a body. He knew what his intended purpose was.
Right.
Now, when you read out of Ezekiel 28 and verse 17, it says about Lucifer, he said, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Now watch this. He said, thou hast corrupted your wisdom. He That's said, right. you had wisdom about what I made you to be. What and I put these right. things in you to do, and you corrupted the wisdom.
You corrupted
See,
it.
So the glory is in even having God's intended purpose Amen. For every bit of finance. That so yes, it has a means, and yes, it's good to know that it has a mean, but it's got to have a God mean in yes. every dime and penny that That's we it. Get into our hands.
That's it.
And we oh. know His purpose. Because that's how we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, oh, not on what we gain.
Amen, evangelist.
Hallelujah.
When I started studying all three levels of giving, I started to study these three. And I never took note of this. I think I mentioned it last night. When it talked about the tithe, it says this, it is the Lord's. And actually it says is, and the is is italicized. It says the tenth, then it says the Lord's. Hmm. Every part of triune giving already belonged to Him. Everything that we're giving is already His.
Wow. Wow.
And I never saw that in all the years I studied on financial prosperity. I never saw that it was already His. When Malachi said what he said, and unfortunately the church used that and beat that thing to beat it to death. When Malachi said, will a man rob God? Malachi was not playing. Malachi knew that the tenth and that the offering was already the Lord's.
Jesus.
We're not giving something to God that doesn't already belong to Him. What God is giving us the ability to do, and all three that I've studied, and we're going to get into this starting on Sunday, all three that I studied, evangelists, are holy. And when you look at the word holy, so what God is doing by letting you give to Him what already belongs to Him, He's grafting you in to His holiness.
That's God.
Holiness means separation. So what God is doing is laying the axe at the root to separate you and me from the root of all evil. That's what He's doing by our giving. We think we're doing Him a favor. He's doing us a favor by bringing us into Amen. His holiness and Amen. Disconnecting us from the source of this Amen. World.
Jesus.
Bless God.
You're not doing That's God a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Triune giving is all about being disconnected. Man, he leapfrogged it in the book of Acts when they sold everything they had.
So I want to ask you a question, an apostle, because I thought about this with Mom.
Mm-hmm.
We were meditating on how God gave His Son.
Mm-hmm.
We saw how He was the substance of God, and we certainly saw how He was the first fruits. But then as we were talking, I said, I know there's something about Him being the tithe. He is a tithe. And then all of a sudden it came to my heart what you said the word tithe means.
God with man.
God. Isn't He God with man?
That's it.
He is. Now, the first time it's mentioned back there when there was only eight left in the earth. God was with men entirely. He didn't have a separate sect. He didn't have a separate nation. He wasn't with just one or two. He was with all of them.
Yes.
This would be the only other time when Jesus would come, He would be God with all men.
That's right. That's right. You see all three facets of giving right there in Christ and in God giving Jesus.
Amen.
All three facets, all three phases are found right there. All three. And it becomes amazing. Why wouldn't God just tell us to sell everything we have? And that because we're in a different dispensation, we're in a different time, and that when you're in a place where you're constantly increasing, please don't take what you saw in the book of Acts as a move that was always. This is where when they sold their possessions, this is how the Jews built their wealth. Most people think they built their wealth because in the Old Testament way of doing it. No, the Jews built wealth when they sold their possessions. What they did was they spawned and they birthed businesses one for another. If you study that out, when they gave to every man that had need, in that need were businesses that were birthing out. The definition even points to that. And so what they did was build wealth. God did this to strike quickly in their minds, to separate their minds. But it doesn't mean that they didn't honor God later in the way that we're learning right now. We're under a great mystery is what we're under. A yes. great yes. And God is unveiling a great mystery unto us.
Yes, he is.
And when someone is yes, able to really release, and I tell you, Jen, Sister Jen, she's on the line, and I believe she is. When she gave what she gave, and the Lord told me what she gave, he said, that's a true substance seed that was sown. And he told me what he likened it as, the widow's mite. Jen dove in with both feet. That's what they did in Acts. Now, what sustains you is triune giving. When now all that increase that comes, you're able, it's all. I'm going to tell this, I'm going to be honest with you. Since I've learned about substance giving, I've emptied my bank account twice at God's command. To where it was at 0.00. And I did it, and I felt amazing that he would say, give it all.
Hallelujah.
And I felt so connected and so disconnected from the world. And then all of a sudden, harvest starts coming in. A harvest starts coming in. I started to harvest. Just began, I mean, way more than what I gave, way beyond what I gave. And I began to harvest. And as I harvest, I just kept my ear. I gave my first fruit, gave my tithe, and kept my ear out for whatever he wanted from the substance.
Amen.
So.
But God knows. And so that's what maintains us. And that's what keeps us here in this realm, this triune giving. For anybody that's on the line that might not be where we are, might not see eye to eye with where we are, I just tell you to open your heart unto the Lord. Amen. Open your heart unto God. And here's one for you that will help you. Do righteous judgment on yourself. Ask yourself how much you truly rely on money. Yeah. Ask yourself that. Ask yourself if God told you today to give everything you got, would you be able to? Mm. Ask yourself that and be truthful with yourself. Judge yourself lest you be judged. Know yourself. Know where you really stand. Are you tied? Are you tied to this? What God is doing here, he's got the axe laid at the root. And I truly believe what's going to keep a lot of Christians left behind is their love for money. And most Christians don't even know they love it. But they trust it more than they trust God. And he said, you cannot serve two masters. It's impossible. It's impossible. So guess what? I'm falling so far out of love with money that I'm actually beginning to hate it, in a sense, in comparison to what I'm seeking for in Christ. Mm. Money has taken, I can't even call it a backseat. It's not even in a vehicle no more.
Thank you, Jesus.
God's revealing, he said, now you're in position. Now you're in position. God ain't about to put money in your hands, child of God, and he knows it's just going to keep you that much, your connection that much stronger. He's not going to take you over the top like that. So you got your ups and downs and ins and outs. Until God can renew your mind, he's not going to, he's protecting you from yourself.
Amen.
So the sooner you get into to honoring God and releasing and becoming a God, becoming truly becoming your source, the sooner you can get on with your business. That's just the fate of all Christians that are truly called of God.
It's truth.
Hang on 1 second. Everyone, just 1 second. Clarify your statement of the believers that do not have the revelation be left behind. Just wondering if that might be thought of condemnation. No. What that is, the statement of believers not having a revelation of what God is doing, what God is trying to do, is giving the believers his mindset. He wants all of, in fact, to really be joined unto him is to have his mindset. And his mindset is, he said here, if I can give, if I so loved you that I could give my only begotten son, give all of my substance unto you, that's my mind that I would want all believers to have toward me. That they're willing to count everything else but dung for the excellency of the knowledge. So believers that are not flowing in this, believers that don't have this insight, we got to be honest with this. Be honest with it. God is faithful and just to finish what he started. They're going to come into the knowledge of this. We've always been called trailblazers in our ministry. But I believe the true believers and the true chosen of God are going to come into this knowledge.
Amen.
Leaving substance as being the source. Because at the end of the day, that's what God is trying to do with us.
That's right.
And that's what he would do for every believer. He would put the axe to the root for us to disconnect us from what's holding us from walking into kingdom. I hope that answers your question. I hope that helps. I truly hope that helps. But yes, but amen. Yes, okay. Praise God. Praise God. That helps. Amen. So. Any other questions or comments, everyone? Because we're just here, just flowing freely here in it, and it's really wonderful.
I have one more.
Yes.
The axe at the root is powerful. And this is for everyone whose axe is still laying dormant and not, like Apostle said, if you were asked the question to give up everything. And what your answer would be. And you, like he said, have to search your heart and know. But there's a scripture that pertains to what happens to the one who's really willing to give all. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And from the Amplified Version, verses 6 through 9, it says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. I believe that someone whose axe is dormant, someone who can't see beyond what their money does for them and can't see the God of the whole earth. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, again, this is the Amplified, that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one give as he has made up in his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. And I believe that's when you made up in your heart, when you hear God, to agree with God, the way we're taught, we hear God tell us what to give. And we make up in our heart to agree with God in how we give, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon. Listen to that. He's unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous,
giver. Come on.
And I love the last one. Whose heart is in his giving. Your heart can't be in your giving if you're looking at your money. Your heart can't be in your giving if you're not continuously looking at Jesus. Because I was in a study with some friends, and I learned something. I said, the more I'm spending time in the Word, the more I'm taking on God's heart. The more I'm taking on God's character, the more I'm taking on God's nature, the more I'm taking on his mind about so many things. The more, that's why we spend time in the Word. People spend time in the Word because they think it's a moral code. No, we bear his image.
That's right.
Period.
That's right.
We bear the likeness of God when we stay in the study of God, the Word. So you can't say your heart is in your giving because you're not looking at God. There's a stronghold that the axe is still dormant, laying at the root. But I promise you, your heart will be in your giving. You'll want to honor God so much, it won't matter what he tells you, because you'll see your God bigger than the money that's maybe taken out of your account if it leaves you broke. I gave a bed, a $2,000 bed, to this woman and her children who were sleeping on blow-up mattresses, had nothing. Here it is, I'm sleeping on a bed, and I have a bed in storage, and I had it for 8 months that I slept on. Brand new, really. Mattress was a foam mattress. I mean, your body sinks into it when you get on it. It was a beautiful set. But I found out that God's purpose for it, for me, was only those 8 months that I used it. And then I saw in this woman who had two children, a baby and a six-year-old, who were trying to sleep on these mattresses that my mom will tell you, they, and Todd too, we used to laugh at my Uncle Ricky because they used to deflate all the time. and God told me to give it $2,000 plus set. And I didn't have one problem giving it to this woman. I rejoiced in giving it because I saw God's purpose for it. I saw him. I saw what he wanted done with it. And I was so glad to give it. It was easy to give it because it was his in the first place. And then with it being his and him telling me what the intended purpose was for it, it was very simple. And my heart was in my giving. I don't say that to boast. I say it to boast in the Lord, because he's the reason we'll rejoice in our giving. He's the reason they rejoiced in Acts. When they saw a love fest, they saw a God fest happening. This is what will happen to your heart when you just let it go.
The truth. It's the truth. It is absolutely the truth. He is trying to make an exchange with us, people of God. He's saying, okay, if you give me mammon, give me your mammon, I'll give you the true riches. Yes. Everybody's been looking for the anointing. We all want to be healed. We all want all kinds of deliverance. I find it amazing that we want to be so much like God, like Evangelist Darrell is saying. We all want to be, we want to become more and more like him. But for some reason, when it comes to the buck stops there. Mm-hmm. For some reason. I mean that in when you really, really look at it, you're willing to do everything and anything else with God. But when it comes to substance, there's like a shutdown. And I'll tell you why. Because that is the recess of Satan.
Yes.
That is the stronghold of the enemy.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what's stopping the church from moving in power and glory. The faster stronghold. The sooner we get rid of this, I'm telling you, we are going to see the power of God like never before.
And like never.
Jesus, my Lord. The anointing doesn't rest on flesh that's living. The anointing only rests on flesh that's dead. Let the axe deal with the root so that the anointing can rise. I'm telling you from experience. From experience. When you don't have, when you take no thought, that's the best realm to live in.
Yes, it is.
You take no thought. The glory rests on you then.
Hallelujah.
The power of Christ is all over you then.
Yeah, Lord, almost.
Jesus. Amen. Amen. Another wonderful, wonderful session here.
Yes, God.
Another wonderful session. Truly wonderful.
Apostle?
Yes.
The end of that testimony is this. I still own my business. I was led by the Lord to go for a job here while I'm still here. I went for the job. I prayed about it first, really earnestly sought the Lord, prayed about it. And that was last week. Early this week, I was influenced to make the call. In 2 days, there was somebody else vying for the job. The same day I walked in, which was Tuesday, I was asked to come in for an interview. When I left the interview on Tuesday, I was asked to come back for a second one on Wednesday. Came back for the second one on Wednesday. When they told me what the job was going to be, I kind of had an idea of what I might get paid. I was hoping between $40,000 and $50,000 a year. When I sat down with the manager who hired me, he apologized to me. He said, I'm so sorry. We can only afford to give you $65,000 a year. I said, only 65. In my mind, I didn't say any words to him. And I thought about what God was doing. Because his promise in that same word in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, he said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, the word always in the Greek means always, having all sufficiency in all things. That word all in the Greek means all. Having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. His intention is you and them, you and many others. He wants to make sure you are taken care of so that you can take care of others. And when you have a heart that is in your giving and you're willing, he will make sure his promises will come to pass.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it becomes so amazing here. That's so powerful, evangelist. That's so powerful.
Bless God.
It's just the way, that's the way it is. It's the way it goes. It really is. Let me tell you, after Jesus was about to sow his seed, which was himself, and I'll say this, and just to confirm what the evangelist is saying, and hopefully we can close with this. When he was about to sow, he knew what he said. He knew what he was doing. He said, okay, Father. He said, I've done everything you asked. I've manifested your name amongst the men. I've given them your word. I've done everything. Jesus said this, and he knew he was about to hit the cross. He said, now glorify thou me with the glory that I had with thee from the beginning. Wow. I've given everything. Jesus knew the harvest that was coming to him.
Wow.
I don't want anybody to sit on this line and think that you're going to do all this, this and that, without God glorifying you in your life. Everything, every promise, every desire, it's all coming. It's all coming. He even said it himself. He said, no man forsakes houses, mothers, brothers, sisters, fathers, children, and lands for sake. You're going to get 100 times over in this life. And in the life to come, you will have eternal life.
That's good.
I'm just trying to let you know. God told me to tell the people of God when I was preaching at a leadership conference a long time ago. He said, tell my people to stop looking to me for full-time pay for part-time labor. They all want the blessing but don't want to give up anything. And I told him. I sat there and I told him, and said, God said, stop looking for full-time pay for part-time labor. And he was talking about the lifestyle of a Christian. He wasn't talking about the work per se of the ministry. He's talking about giving themselves completely over to him. That's what he's talking to us about. He knows how to make you rich without sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's doing.
Yes, he
let
does.
Him let the axe kill the root. Let the axe, man, I'm loving where the axe is. Every time I honor, I know the axe is swinging at the root. There's a greater and greater separation that I'm feeling and experiencing. Jesus said this, and I promise I'm done here. He said, if you can't forsake all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. He literally said that. If you cannot forsake all that, if any man who comes after me will not forsake all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. He wasn't being mean. He was telling you it's impossible. You're already being disciplined by mammon.
Mm-hmm.
How can I too discipline you when you're being disciplined by that?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't being evil or mean, like saying, step off if you don't give up everything. No, he's saying, I can't disciple you if you can't forsake everything, because you're already being discipled by your substance.
Can't be.
Apostle, you keep doing this to me. You keep doing this to me. But I have I do have one question for you, though. No, seriously, I do.
Absolutely.
How did the rich young ruler walk away from Jesus?
Because he had great possessions.
No, how?
Sorrowfully. He was sorrowful.
He was, come on.
There it is, right there.
Come on.
Walked away.
Because he trusted in his money. He was in vanity.
He was in vanity. There it is. You just connected it. Look at you. Go ahead. You just connected it. That's it. That's why he walked away with his head down. That's exactly why.
Yes, sir.
But when God makes us rich, we don't walk like that, because we're not stuck in vanity. We're not that. We're nowhere there. It's not that we're trying not to be. No, we're just not there. Come on, man.
It's in that same scripture where Jesus said that. He said it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. For right. With man, it's impossible. But with God.
That's right.
With God, you can be wealthy and enter in.
You can be wealthy and enter in. You can come in. You're all trying to do it without me. No, you're not going to ever come into my kingdom. But let me sever it and then recreate it. Let me sever you from the commonwealth of Babylon and sanctify you and connect you to the commonwealth of the kingdom, to where now you have the mindset of what real wealth is.
Yes, sir.
Jeez. My God in heaven. That's a mindset right there. That's a mindset right there. I'm trying to tell you. You know who had that mindset? You could study it out. Solomon had that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Prove it to you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, whatever you want, Solomon, what do you want? He said, give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead your people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Solomon's already in the mindset of saying, I don't need no money. Give me what I need to lead your people.
Yes.
And the Lord said, man, that was a great answer, boy. You are so in the flow of my Father's mind. Yes.
Hallelujah. And I would be
the wealthiest man that the world has ever seen and known. Why? Because he was already in the mindset of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Man, listen.
No.
Listen. Jesus. All right. All right. Amen. Amen. Sister Jen, if you're still on the line, I would love for you to share, if you're going to be on the line on Sunday, the testimony that you sent to Elder Allison. I was actually giving you an invite to share your testimony with all of us if the Lord leads you. And so if he leads you on Sunday, I would love for you to share that, because that is tremendous, tremendous. I was so blessed by it. So if you are led, please be led to join in and share that testimony with us on Sunday if you're led.
Yes.
I will. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Jen. Thank you. Amen, everybody. This was a great session. It is recorded. We're going to post it. You'll be able to listen to it again. And it's in the archives, and we're going to really, boy, I thought I was almost done with peace. I thought we were moving on to the next fruit, but we'll get there, but I'm just not going to rush. I'm walking with him. I'm doing what he wants me to do. And so, I'm looking forward to Sunday, because you are going to see some powerful, powerful truths about this, triune giving, about each and every faction of giving that we do between the tithe, the first fruit, and then sowing from the lump, which is our substance. You're going to see what it does. Amen. All right. Love you guys. Be blessed. If you have a seed you want to sow, you know how you can sow it. If you want to